Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But then again, I've had some bad radio before. I'm Ken Laird. We're here at Fenway, taking you up until that midnight bell. 7-2. It was ugly. This was tough. This was just a rough one. Well, one of those nights where the Red Sox were just thoroughly outplayed top to bottom. And without Betts and Bogarts in the lineup, this offense, you saw it without Mookie there for a stretch. Bogarts as well, for that matter. They'll both, by the way, Alex Cora said, be back tomorrow. So that's huge, and that's going to overshadow anything about this game you want to say with the offense. They had three hits through eight innings. They did scrape out a minor modicum of excitement in the ninth inning. Mitch Moreland's triple, bringing home a run, breaking the shutout. But, you know, you don't want to overreact at all to a game like this. And the propaganda sheet that the Red Sox put out before the game, 51 wins, most in baseball. And after the offensive explosion of the last couple nights, the Red Sox vaulted back to the lead in baseball in runs, 397. They were tops in run differential, blah, blah, blah. You go down through the list, and the Red Sox offense is legit. Last year, Rob Bradford, by the way, had just put up a story tonight about J.D. Martinez, who continues to hit. And Rob was pointing out to me in the pregame show that Dave Dombrowski admitted they were going after J.D. Martinez last year. They tried to get him at the trade deadline a year ago. And as Rob said, think back to last year. What were they missing? Well, they were missing home runs. So that was obviously an area that they had identified they would like to go get some help. Part of the problem could be, you know, they were trying to deal with a Detroit franchise that might not have the best relationship with Dave Dombrowski after he departed. But I don't know. Behind the scenes, maybe they were close to getting J.D. Martinez, and maybe they just, you know, fell short, didn't have the package that would have got him here. But the point is, a year ago at this time, as we were approaching the trade deadline, the Red Sox had pretty obvious needs from the standpoint of they needed power. They didn't exactly fill that need, and I don't think J.D. Martinez last year would have made a difference anyway. They got in that series with Houston, and they were outplayed by a better Astros team. I didn't see that coming, but those games weren't all that close to the point where one hitter makes that much of a difference. And you can get, you know, micro sort of analyzed going back to last year. Anyway, fast forward a year later to my point. The trade deadline. It's still end of July. A lot of time left for the Red Sox to decide and kind of sift through what they need. But you watch a game like this tonight, if you could get through it, the 7-2 Seattle win, and you start to think to yourself, man, do they need some punch. You look at the stats, you look at the numbers, and you say, this offense is fine, especially if Betts and Bogarts are in the lineup. But the bottom of the lineup tonight, as has been the case for much of the season, even when Mookie's in there, or Bogarts, it's, you know, 6-9 in the batting order. 1-14 collectively tonight. And that bottom four in the order tonight, Devers, Nunez, Vasquez, Jackie Bradley Jr. Catcher's not going to be a position where they make a change. Vasquez and Leon, it's a platoon. Vasquez tonight, 0-4, his average is at 2.11. It's just not something they're going to go out and seek at the trade deadline. We know that. Nunez was the DH tonight. That's not going to be the case when Betts and Bogarts are healthy. Nunez was a signing with a player option, and I thought it was a good one. I supported the Nunez signing in the offseason. He did have Nunez, the RBI single in the ninth, and drew a walk. So he was 1-3 tonight. And Nunez, I mean, he's a good hitter over the course of his career. You can see him being a productive piece on this team. It's not like it's the worst signing of all time. It was a fairly reasonable contract, although you could see it getting picked up next year for $4 million or whatever Nunez is owed. And I think it's a $4 million player option. The biggest complaint, though, has just been Dustin Pedroia is not healthy. Nunez was brought in to be a couple of months, gets you through till Pedroia is ready. So it's hard to blame Nunez. He's coming off an injury himself. He's a decent right-handed bat that you can plug in a couple spots. The bigger questions, I think, are can you upgrade yourself at the Jackie Bradley Jr. spot Of course you can offensively, but what you lose defensively makes that such a bizarre decision that the Red Sox have to make. We'll get back to that in a second. And the other one is Devers. Devers injured himself tonight. He was 0 for 3, with a foul ball off the knee. He's hitting .236. And you read about all the trade rumors that are out there, and the guy's name that keeps popping up that is kind of the most sexy to talk about from a baseball fan's point of view is Manny Machado. And you look to the Orioles and you think, all right, it's in the division. Probably not a fit, but then again, Erod, who pitched tonight, was a trade with the Orioles. And it's not like that's a no-go as far as dealing some assets. Machado is a rental. So what will the price be? I'm sure it'll be a big ask. But Devers may or may not be one of the guys that would have to go to clear a spot on the left side of the infield to bring a Manny Machado back. According to John Heyman, there's a ton of interest. Manny Machado right now is a sweepstakes. It's a full-fledged sweepstakes. So the obvious question is, you look at Devers and the year that he's had so far, he's hitting .236 after tonight's 0 for 3. He's obviously got some defensive, I don't want to say issues because, the numbers would say he does have some issues in terms of the total errors on the year, but he's a guy that can make some great plays. He's a developmental piece over there, I guess would be the best way to phrase it. I think he's improved in the last year and a half, for sure. But are you sold on Rafael Devers? And if they got a Machado in for a rental, and they could approach it as if they would hope that would lead to bringing him around for the long term, would you be prepared as a Red Sox fan to go ahead and make that move and bring in a guy like that? A major sort of sweepstakes-ish guy where you would shake up your order in a big way by either benching Devers or moving him for part of the return to bring Manny Machado here. My answer to that, and of course you're welcome to weigh in here at 617-779-7937 on Red Sox Review. My answer is no, I'm not willing to give up Rafael Devers. Now, he probably could have used some more grooming. This is a guy that I don't want to say was rushed along, but he had some success last year, and he's kind of stuck. He's still a very young player who you can see at the plate even at various times where he's not going to be a high walk guy, a high OBP guy probably ever in his career. But, he swings the stuff out of the strike zone, puts himself in some bad counts, and it's going to be a bit of a project there as well. For the Red Sox, that's a little bit tough to take because they're a team that's built to win now over the next year or so, particularly with Chris Sale. Drew Pomerantz, despite not being in there, is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And, they'll have Sale around for one more year. They're going to have that club option. I'm sure they'll pick up. David Price, we don't know about. But the bottom line is this team's kind of built to win now in the short term. And they're kind of pulling Devers along. And he's a big part when the offense goes silent on a night like this where you think, boy, you could have really used a big knock from Rafael Devers in this game. He ended the first inning with that ground out. Swung through a pitch where for a minute there it looked like this game was tied at one. Instead, next pitch he comes back and grounds out a little 4-3 put out, and the threat is ended by Mike Leake. Struck out to end the fourth inning. And if you fancy yourself a championship team, the Yankees lost tonight. You don't want to get stuck in a one-game playoff with a team like the Mariners where anything can happen. All these games, even though you've won 51, feel a little bit more important. Time is of the essence. And you don't want to blow chances like tonight when the Yankees lost at Tropicana Field. So it's all part of the consideration that what do we do with Rafael Devers? Can we just keep playing him every night? Or do you go for some more minor pieces to try to improve this team here and there? We'll get to Bradley in a moment, but there is one bit of trade rumor in terms of the Red Sox and a West Coast report. Let me read you this. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. And according to them, the Red Sox have talked to the A's about Mark Canna. So that's not blockbuster. That's not going to be a Manny Machado sweepstakes-like player. They've talked to the A's about Mark Canna. They've inquired. It sounds like he's not available. I don't know that that's been said for sure. But there's a guy who is a right-handed hitter. He may or may not be a regular player, but he's hitting 303 against lefties this year. You know, you're not going to trade Rafael Devers to get Mark Canna, but it's somebody who could play some outfield for you. And in that case, you're talking more about Jackie Bradley Jr. losing at bats. He could also probably platoon at first base and platoon with Mitch Moreland a little, although he's hitting 300 after tonight. But through four seasons in the big leagues, Mark Canna has played 170 games in the outfield, most of it in left, 86 games at first. And he's DH'd a little bit, played a couple of games at third base. So this is a guy that you have concrete knowledge then per a report, if you believe this report from the San Francisco Chronicle, that's a guy the Red Sox are looking at. He's 29 years of age, so he's not a young guy anymore. But he's only 4 years into his big league career. He's a career 237 hitter. This year he's hitting 250. Nine homers, 25 RBIs. Is that going to be enough to come in and spread out the wealth of your lineup, give you a right-handed bat, give you a bench option where you feel like on a night like this, the offense wakes up a little bit more? You don't just have death once you get through six through nine in the batting order. And it appears that's the way Dave Dombrowski's going to go, right? The actual better fit for them is probably Adam Jones, who's the other member of the Baltimore Orioles that is up for trade bait, for trade discussion. And, you know, as far as Jones goes, I mean, he's been a longtime Oriole. Of course you can't get past everything that happened last year in Boston, whether you believe it, whether you don't believe it. Can go back down that road. Obviously, Adam Jones believes it, and there's so much drama behind whether he heard a racial slur here at Fenway Park last year. You wonder if he would even agree to come to, albeit a contender, to the Boston Red Sox. But right now, Adam Jones is kind of what this Red Sox team, he's more of what you're looking for. He's a, I would say, borderline superstar, but he's got that kind of pizzazz where you could see him coming in and really spreading out this lineup in a big, big way, especially if Dustin Pedroia is not going to be coming back. And we, based on the silence, the deafening silence around the Pedroia situation, it appears like right now, you're not going to get Pedroia back in the lineup. So, you know, Jones plays the outfield, Pedroia the infield, but it's just that right-handed bat that they need to spread the wealth a little bit. And with everything, with the Yankees being measured day by day under the microscope, it's one of those things you start to think about whether you would stretch and start to have some back-channel discussions with Adam Jones and wonder if he would waive those trade rights. And, of course, what would it cost as well. So, that's what's the first thing on the mind tonight here on Red Sox Review at a 7-2 loss to the Mariners night. A tough one to get through, but in terms of, yes, the stats say the Red Sox are elite offensively. The wins at 51 say nothing to at all worry about. You know, 1-1 in this series, you just had two great nights offensively. Yes, 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 all that, but this division, you got to win it. Don't want to get into a one-game playoff. Trade deadline coming soon. Sooner rather than later, in terms of you don't want to fall into a 3-4-5 game deficit chasing the Yankees here through the last couple months. They are in a position now here where they're stumbling for whatever reason for the first time this year. They may lose three in a row if they drop one tomorrow in Tampa, and you want to take advantage of it. Tonight, the Red Sox could not do that. I'm Ken Laird here at Fenway Park. We've got Red Sox Review up until midnight. A couple other trade rumors that are out there in baseball. We'll throw those past you. Alex Cora spoke postgame. He updated the status of Bogarts, Devers, and Mookie Betts. We'll let you hear from Cora as well. 617-779-7937, the way to reach us here on Red Sox Review on Sports Radio WEEI. At 11:02, here's what's trending now on WEEI and at WEEI.com. Seattle Mariners 7, Boston Red Sox 2 tonight at Fenway Park. Middle game of this contest, evened up now at one game apiece. The Red Sox with a loss, failing to catch up with the Yankees, who also fell today. They were shut out 4-0 in Tampa in the AL East. So the Sox have now lost 3-5, 5-8. Chris Sale on the mound tomorrow for the 105 first pitch, 12:20 pregame. On the Shaw Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. The Red Sox, by the way, have three hits through eight innings tonight. They did plate those two runs kind of meaningless in the ninth inning. Bruins had some action today after not picking in round one. Their first pick of the NHL draft in the second round, Axel Anderson, 57th overall. And he will be in with the rest of the development camp prospects this week over at Warrior Ice. Weather forecast for tomorrow. as falling an April day today. Sunday's high 78 degrees, but there are some showers and possible thunderstorms in the forecast tomorrow. So you might want the umbrella tomorrow if you're coming out to Fenway for that Chris Sale finale. I'm Ken Laird. That's what's trending. More Red Sox review coming up next.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Pitch is swung on, hit deep to left. Way back by the wall. It's off the AL East standings. It scores two runs, bounces over Benny's head, and it's a two-run double for Haniger. And it is 4-0 Seattle.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Mariners.
Dunn check, and the right-hander pumps one home. It's a ground ball to third, backing up on it, Seager. He's got it, throws a long way to first, and the ball game is over. And the Mariners take game two and tie the series up. Season series is even at 3 apiece with a rubber game tomorrow afternoon. 7-2 for final score. Red Sox 51-27 now, while the Mariners go to 47-30. Mike Leake is now 8-4, and Eduardo Rodriguez will drop to 9-2.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Ken Laird on WEEI.
Get some of those Alex Cora thoughts coming up from the postgame, an update on some of the injured players more primarily. No Mookie Betts, no Xander Bogaerts tonight, and they lost Rafael Devers in this game with a foul ball off the knee. Early word was that he's okay. They were just precautionary, but Alex Cora will tell you himself coming up in a few minutes. Talking a little trade deadline. It's early, but what do the Red Sox need in your opinion? And when you start to hear some of the rumors out there, Manny Machado's name, probably as far as a hitter goes, which is, I think, what we would all agree the Red Sox need first and foremost, right? A bat or two. A veteran outfield type seems to be, to me, the number one priority. If not for the incident last year here at Fenway Park, Adam Jones actually is a great fit. But he's got a right to veto any possible trade. He's been 10 years in the bigs and five straight time current organization. So I would highly doubt Alex Jones would come here. Maybe I'm wrong, though. He was certainly very vocal about the incident last year. And maybe he would want to prove a point of sorts to come here and play for a contender and play in some big games, and you just never know how that works, but it would be something. It would be a major headline sparker to bring Adam Jones in here. Jackie Bradley Jr. was back in the lineup tonight, but he was 0-3, and JBJ's average after this one falls to 178. That being said, if you're going to bring, you know, Jones in, or you're going to just go with the, when Betts is healthy, the Betts, Benintendi, Martinez outfield, Friday night's game, if you watched the majority of that, you can see where you missed Bradley. There was a ball where Benintendi was going back towards the monster. It went off his glove, and Benintendi kind of rolled into the wall. And the Red Sox would come back to win the game, but it was a play where I have no doubt that Jackie Bradley Jr. makes that catch. I mean, it's an obvious, tangible thing you can point to in a game on Friday night where JBJ's making that catch. Benintendi did not make it. He was close, but you clearly lose something. But when you look at the final tonight, and you see the bottom of the order, 6-9 in the order, and Bradley's a part of that. He's just, you know, 1 out of 4, but they were 1-14 collectively. It's just not getting the job done. And too many nights they have to rely on either Martinez, Betts, and Bogaerts, or in the case of tonight where Mookie and Xander are not in the lineup, you really feel it, I think, as a Red Sox watcher, listener, a fan, somebody that's trying to evaluate this team and saying, what do they need? Well, they need a better bottom of the order. They need a bat. They need a right-handed bat primarily. Who is that and who sits because of it? Bradley's a candidate, and that brings Adam Jones into the discussion. And then the other part of it is the Manny Machado name draws a whole lot more appeal, but are you prepared to either deal Rafael Devers or to bench Rafael Devers? Because that would be what it would take in those two options. You're clearly better for a rental. You give up a lot with a division team to get him here, but it's also not necessarily the place where you would just look and say, okay, Devers stinks, because that's not the case. The guy's capable of some big home runs. He's just got holes in his game right now. He's got some room to grow defensively at the plate, swinging with the pitches out of the zone. He's a project. He's under control for so many years, though, and there are so bereft of prospects underneath him in the organization, it feels like Devers is really still their number one prospect. and it would be tough to give that up, even though you've got your eye on this year and next year in the Chris Sale era, so to speak, as a Red Sox fan with that window to win a championship. Tell me what you think, 617-779-7937. Wally has been hanging in there. He will start us off with the Red Sox review call portion. And Shime Time, if you could pull him up, because how about Doug Lane? Great producer, but he just bailed on me. He said, I'm out of here. Laird, you handle it. I'll be back tomorrow. So, Wally, what's going on, my friend?
What's up? A-Rod just didn't have it.
Hey, Wally, can you hear us? Go ahead.
A-Rod just didn't have it.
No,
but
no,
you look at Manny Machado, like I said, to give up Devers, like I said, our window is now. But like you said, realistically, you got some other names, too. You got Andrew McCutchen of the Giants, and the intriguing guy, too, is Jed Lowry. You could use him at second or anywhere in the infield. But you look at the Yankee lineup. I mean, we're just top-heavy. We got the four guys, and we got a little black hole. But you're going to have the other guys are going to have to get some help. I mean, we don't have a catcher that's going to hit 30 home runs like Gary Sanchez. We don't have two kids at the bottom of the order who are going to hit 20 home runs apiece. I mean, we just don't have the firepower right now that the Yankees have.
Thanks for the call, Wally. You know, you look at the Yankees, though, and I was just checking out the New York Daily News, and one of their columnists, Mike Mazzeo, has his headline is, Slumping Yanks Can't Afford Slip-Up in AL East. Better find a way to break out the bat Sunday. So if you're a Yankees fan, you look at the Yankees lineup, I would agree, you know, they spread out the wealth better. Like, looking at today's lineup, for example, at the bottom of the order, Andujar is hitting seventh for them. He's hitting .286 and has had a pretty good year. Austin Romine, their catcher, is hitting .309. But Greg Bird's in a terrible slump. I mean, he came back off the DL, but he's hitting .193. And Bird, let me see what the funk that he's in. He's 7-for-51. And this was their best hitter last year in the playoffs. But he's had, you know, a handful of games, about a month to kind of get himself off the schneid. He can't do it. Neil Walker's hitting below .200, who was at second base in this game. So they are a little bit top-heavy, too. I mean, not to mention, neither Judge nor Stanton are hitting anywhere close to the average-wise and some of the other numbers that J.D. Martinez is. J.D. Martinez has had an unbelievable start to the year. So, you can't have everything. But if you're the Yankees and the Red Sox and you're in this sort of Star Wars now and they're eyeing each other, it's a game or two games, or they're tied pretty much every day you look at the standings, any little addition here in the next month is going to make a difference. And there's got to be a fear from each of these teams that you get in that one-game wild card and you get eliminated by this Mariners team. Right now the Mariners, I think, are five games up in the wild card. They're a good team. They could easily come in here and have one of their guys. Tonight it was Mike Leake. Last week at Safeco Field, it was LeBlanc that shut him out. And, they've been missing Felix Hernandez here in this little seven-game series, but Cruz crushes them. That's a guy that you would obviously fear in a short series. So to go out and make a couple additions to get past them and get into a longer series, it could make all the difference in the postseason run. And the Yankees are going to get pitching help. That seems to be, for them, that's a no-brainer. They're going to add some pitching. For the Red Sox, it's just not as clear. So who would you trade for? Where do you go? A couple other names that surfaced today before we hear from Alex Cora. This is interesting. According to Evan Grant of the Dallas Morning News, the Texas Rangers are out of playoff contention, and they're starting to make guys available. So forget about relievers for a minute. Their closer, Keone Kila, they're going to make available, and Jake Diekman. But Adrian Beltre is available. So there's another third base. If Machado's not somebody that you're thinking about, what about Beltre? Of course, Adrian Beltre had that kind of resurgent year. The 1 year he signed and was in Boston for $9 million or whatever, he had the rejuvenated season. And they didn't make the playoffs that year. I think they were close, if memory serves. But they didn't. And he was gone. They didn't really make a big play for him, and that was the Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford. They were moving another direction, and of course Beltre has played a lot for Texas and is, he's a borderline Hall of Famer, I would say, maybe even beyond borderline. So would you consider bringing Beltre back? There's a right-handed bat that obviously you could kind of platoon a little bit there with Devers at third, and it would seem to make a little bit of sense. So maybe that's more the direction they would consider going. Josh in Ludlow up next here on Red Sox Review with some trade deadline thoughts. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to bring up a name that no one is really talking about for the Red Sox, but is clearly on the trade block, and that's JT Realmuto for the Marlins. It's been reported that the Nationals weren't willing to meet his asking price, but I wonder how high that is. And we have players like Blake Swihart and Devers. I mean, if we're talking about putting them on the trade block, that's a package that the Marlins should look at. For a catcher of that caliber, a player of that caliber to come to the Red Sox would be huge. And he's under team control for the next couple of years. So that could be something that maybe they should look into because he's a great hitter and he can also play first base. So if Marlin goes down, we have that backup there.
Yeah, it's not a bad thought, Josh. Thanks for the call. And I saw Realmuto had another home run today, so he's obviously hot. Let me see what his average popped up to after he hit a tie-breaking grand slam in the seventh as Miami beat Colorado today. 3.08 now after a 2-for-4 day with that grand slam. So he was playing first today. Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I mean, this all goes back, by the way, too, to the lack of Hanley Ramirez around. And we talked last night with ABC investigative journalist Michelle McPhee on Red Sox Review. And over the last 24 hours, I wouldn't say that story has really gone as far as I thought it might. Obviously, Michelle is still digging. The timeline is still a little murky. We got into really deeply analyzing whether or not Hanley Ramirez was released for some off-field concerns. But, there's Realmuto, who's a right-handed hitter who plays first, and you had that guy. You sort of had that guy. And Hanley, I know he was in a little bit of a funk offensively, and he was going to cost you a ton next year, so it didn't come without some penalties. If that vesting option was going to be picked up, but I the caller's right. If you get JT Realmuto here, he's had a terrific year. Some people are saying he's the best catcher in baseball right now. I think it would cost a lot in terms of asking price from the Marlins, but he's hitting 308, 10 homers. Career, he's a 283 hitter. But it would just – I'm not saying you shouldn't make the deal, but you would bring him in and you'd be like, we had this guy with Hanley. We had a right-handed bat that can play first. And as far as catcher goes, I just don't see Cora splitting up with the Vasquez. And no matter how poor they hit, I just don't think they're even going to consider moving on from Vasquez and Leon right now. I think they're satisfied with those two. They think they're fine there, and that's not the place they're going to go. But it's not if he's a first baseman, okay, then you can consider platooning him with Moreland, I suppose. It's just back down a road where you're already eating $15 million for sort of a platoon guy. Part of the argument for we got rid of Hanley for baseball reasons is we believe in Mitch Moreland as an everyday player, right? And I guess part of it was to keep Swihart around. Swihart had one at bat today and was didn't look real good against Edwin Diaz, a tough closer. But Blake Swihart now is hitting 149, and that's an obvious place where you can upgrade. All right, I've been yapping for a while, but let's hear from Alex Cora from a bit of his post game. He gave some updates on the injured guys and whether they'll be back soon or tomorrow, for that matter. Here's Alex Cora.
There were two pitches, changed the game. It felt like coming into the game, I was thinking about like that first inning felt like a shutdown inning. We need a shutdown inning after what happened last night. Obviously, when that happens, when you lose that game, you kind of like come with a lot of energy trying to like set the tempo right away, and we didn't get the shutdown inning. He threw a cutter to, who was it, the second hitter? Yeah, and it didn't get in, and he hit the double. And then there was another cutter that he hit. Again, those two pitches, compared to last week we attacked him away, Eduardo did, and tonight he tried to go in. It didn't work. But then, we come back, we load the bases, and it felt like, here we go again, just we score a run there. Probably the feel of the game was going to be a lot different, and Rafi expanding the zone twice, the breaking ball, the ball hits him, and then with a changeup down in the zone, and we don't score, and kind of like, the feeling of the game was like it wasn't great. So, yeah. Ruffy, he's okay. Yeah, he's okay. We hope so, yeah. Yeah. Well, Brad just talked to them. They're going to show up early tomorrow, see where they're at. So we'll go from there. I do feel that after the first inning, you see JD going the other way and Mitch going the other way, Brock being patient on the outside part of the plate, he started throwing pitches inside to the lefties, and then he went away, and then he went back. So we just faced him last week. His stuff was better. He wasn't as wild in the strike zone, you know, like last week. He was all over the place with the cutter, with the sinker. It seems like he wasn't able to control it. Not tonight. And I think that, you know, we saw a few pitches, and we roll over, and we hit some balls hard too, Benny, Jackie, you know. So it's one of those nights that, you know, he went eight, and you look back, and we put some good swings, and we didn't put some good at bats sometimes, so it was a tough night overall. And it's, I think everybody is feeling for it, you know, in the dugout when he hits one, it's like, it's unbelievable, but it's part of the game. You know, he needs to stay with the approach. It's one that is working as far as like the process. They should start falling. They should. So he'll be out there tomorrow, and he'll put good at bats, and hopefully he can square a few and find some holes. Oh, he didn't make that play. Didn't get to the hop or just missed it. The at bats, it's a tough spot, you know, to come for AAA. All of a sudden he's leading off here, but he was swinging the bat well. Last at bat, it was, you know, it seems like he slowed it down. I got a pitch on the outside part of the plate and hit it hard to third base. So, you know, that's good.
Alex Cora, after the 7-2 loss tonight by the Red Sox, I'm Ken Laird here on Red Sox Review. And Cora did right before or right after that, say that Betts and Bogarts are back in the lineup tomorrow. So that can make a huge, huge difference. Talking about the trade deadline, do you see a major move coming? Do you see a big piece? What exactly do the Red Sox need? 617-779-7937. It feels like, particularly after a night like this, without Mookie and Xander, right-handed bat in a big way. But put those two in, you know, hard to get greedy. If Holt and Moreland continue to hit, and Benintendi for that matter, this lineup obviously stacks up with any in baseball. The numbers show it. Most runs in baseball coming into tonight. You know, best run differential. So they're in pretty good position to compete. All that being said, there's an excellent chance, you know, somebody else goes down, and you want to give yourself some assets, some bench guys, in case of emergency. That's another part of beefing up at the trade deadline, anticipating some injuries down the road. So what you see tonight with a piece or two not being available, that might happen down the road. So Dave Dombrowski is going to have some tough decisions as to who to give up. Maybe less so in the farm system, but in terms of, are you willing to really relegate Jackie Bradley Jr. to the bench and Rafael Devers as well? I think Devers is, I think he's safe, but he even heard Cora say there, Rafi expanded the zone a couple times. And he's 21, he's still young. You think back to the Travis Shaw trade, and I thought that was going to be a no-brainer success story because of Tyler Thornburg. He had a great year as the Brewers closer. We haven't seen him yet, and that has got to be, if you're a Sox fan, so frustrating because they could clearly use Shaw, even though he's a left-handed stick. Just right now, if you don't feel like Devers is getting it done, you could put Shaw in there, and you, on a night like this, you find a way to maybe get them both in there. Devers is your DH instead of Swihart, instead of Nunez. It's such a difference in this order without Betts and Bogarts. And that one, that's a kick in the teeth right there, that you gave up on Shaw and Thornburg has given you nothing, Bupkis. So here you are at the trade deadline. You're kind of going to make up for that past mistake. And I can't say I would have, you know, I did not blame Dombrowski at the time. I thought it was the right move. But that one hurts. That one has hurt for a year and a half here now. Steve in Waltham is next up on Red Sox Review. What's going on, Steve? You're on Sports Radio WEI.
Hey, Ken. How you doing? You know what? I don't know. I'm trying to look at this thing fairly logically. I don't see the math working here, and the reason why I say this is Red Sox payroll is well over the luxury tax, so I don't see them taking on a lot of salary. Their farm system is stripped because of what Dombrowski has made for trades. I don't think they need a bat. I think they need a bullpen arm. I think their bullpen is the weakest part of their team. Now, compare that to the Yankees. The Yankees are positioned, well, probably like $13 million below the luxury tax amount, and they have a lot of prospects, and they will go out and get a starting pitcher at the deadline. I'm pretty confident of that. So that's why I don't see a major move here. I mean, you know, why would you need to add offense to the Red Sox? I think they need bullpen help because when it comes to the postseason, pitching is more important than hitting anyway.
Well, I think you're right about bullpen. I mean, I've just kind of left that aside for the night, Steve. That's I would think that's a no-brainer, right? They're going to add a bullpen piece of some. As far as the bat goes, if they do nothing as far as the offense, you're fine with them heading into the playoffs with this lineup as is.
Not fine, but, you know, it's funny. You threw out Machado and you threw out Beltre, okay? Machado is going to be a pure rental, and I don't see them getting prospects to get him. Beltre would be an interesting thing because I don't know what his contract situation is. So I don't know how much salary you'd be taking back, but his getting someone like him would be less of a burden because you won't have to give up as much prospects in order to take back salary. But no, I mean honestly, you have Miguel Andujar, you have Gleyber Torres, the bottom of the Yankee lineup. The Yankees have a deeper lineup right now than the Red Sox. No. Yeah, the catching position for the Red Sox as a whole, center field with Bradley Jr. as a whole, there's a lot of holes in that lineup, and that lineup could, come playoff time, be pitched to. Yeah, so yeah, you're right. Offense is definitely needed.
$18 million is the Beltre contract, and he's in the last year of his deal. So, yep.
Okay, so you're only paying
I mean, Machado's actually $16 million. Yeah. Yep. It's about the same as Machado, basically. But you're right. I think it would take less to get him.
Because he's older and he's not going to be looking for the big payday after this season.
No question. Hey, Steve, thanks for the thoughts. As far as we'll leave the bullpen out of it for a second, in terms of the salary and whether the organization's willing to add big payroll like that, this was part of the conversation about Ruznay Castillo, right? So if the Sox add, there was a piece done by Pete Abes with the Globe where he was talking about if they brought up Ruznay Castillo, who's hitting well at AAA, but I'm skeptical whether it would translate here anyway. But they would then take on his $10.36 million salary, so it would raise their payroll over the highest luxury tax tier of $237 million. Wouldn't lose it, but it would drop 10 spots in the 2019 draft. And so, you know, you're really – and if indeed I suspect that they released Hanley for contract reasons, that they don't want no part of that top-tier luxury tax. You know, there was a reason they kind of had a salary cap on themselves last year. They didn't want to go out for Edwin Encarnacion. They sort of set a bar of where they would go. And, I'm not sure they would be willing to do that for either of those guys. Now, the prorated portion of it, you know, for a $16 million and $18 million player, possibly you could unload some salary elsewhere in getting those guys back, but both Beltre and Machado might be too expensive for them, which is almost it's hard to fathom that the Red Sox for the second year in a row would still be in that situation. But they sort of talked that way last year, and I really question whether they would add that much salary again this year. So I think the caller is right from the standpoint of that's probably a pipe dream. Even Beltre, you're probably looking more at Mark Canha. I mean, per that report from San Francisco, that's the type of player they're looking at. They're looking at more of a fourth outfielder type, not somebody who's going to come in like an Adam Jones and be a starting outfielder. They're looking for more a supporting cast piece. And whether or not that's enough to beat the Yankees, you tell me. 617-779-7937. Can a Mark Canha, if that's their only move between now and the end of next month, is that going to be enough to win this division? Mike in Connecticut's next up here on Sports Radio WEI. What's up, Mike?
Hi, Ken. Let me put my two cents into your question. No. And before I talk about, them going out to get a good bat, Ken, is this Thornburg ever going to throw a pitch for the Red Sox or what?
I'm having my doubts now. I am having my doubts.
Well,
and I was fully behind Thornburg. He hasn't had a setback. It's just every time he pitches now, every second or third outing, he gets ripped up in AAA, and then they kind of, I guess they do call it a setback, you know, a minor setback. He'll go back to the drawing board a little bit. But I don't know how you can trust him now. You're getting into,
right.
I mean, these games all matter, but you're getting into July and August. I'm not sure they're going to count on him.
All right. I'm sorry. But they need to get a bat, Ken. The lineup is weak, and how much longer do you think they're going to go with Bradley? I mean, I know he hits a couple balls hard, but the numbers don't lie. He's the worst hitter in baseball since the All-Star break last year. This isn't just this is going on a 6-7 month slump now.
He is such a unique player, Mike. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I'm only 39 years old, but somebody to be this good, this elite in center field, and this bad at the plate.
I'm telling you one thing. This reminds me of the 78 with the swoon and that playoff game. You weren't old enough to see it, and oh, my God. I can see him playing in that one-game playoff again, Ken. But what do you think they would have to give up if they really wanted to go for it this year? For rental to get Machado.
I mean, I think Devers would be the ask, right? I mean, that's their top prospect. So, I mean, I guess you could throw in some of their injured prospects like Jay Groom, but
I would do that.
Yeah,
trade.
I mean, I do. I mean, I think you would make the trade for Machado. See, I'm not willing to give up on Devers. I think there's
you
give up 6 years of control over a player to.
Is, you know, Machado may love him here, Ken. It's no thing that he's not going to stay here.
He may. But again, are they willing to pay him top dollar in the offseason when you get into a bidding war?
Do you think that he would balk because he doesn't want to go back to third base?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess he talked about that. You know, he was kind of squawked about that this offseason, right? He wanted to be a shortstop again. But for that matter, Bogarts is coming to the end of the line in 2 years, so I'm sure they could work something out there if he's their shortstop of the future. I'm not sure they would be willing to pay him. What's he going to command on the open market next year? Over $200
million? Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
especially with the year.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Although, you know, hey, I mean, you've heard J.D. Martinez squawk about the fix being in baseball and what a joke it was this offseason, and he's got a real reason to complain because what an unbelievable hitter that we've watched here through the first couple months, and he made or was making, what, 80, 90 million less than Stanton and thought he was going to be a $200 million guy, not even close to that. So I don't know. You know, you've got some big fish, including Bryce Harper up in this free agent class, so maybe – the Yankees and the big bidders will go after Harper, and a guy like Machado wouldn't make as much, but I got a feeling he's going to be making a ton. It's interesting when you think about trading for a Machado and trading a Devers. It's just Devers, for all his areas of possible development that he still needs to work on, to give him up to the Orioles and watch him playing over there for 6 years is tough. I mean, think about Baltimore fans. Erod was not good tonight, but I'm sure it's got to be tough. You know, they took a run at it, and they brought Miller in, and he was, you know, fine for them. But it's a one-year rental, and it's gone, and then all of a sudden you're left for multiple years of watching Erod just bury you every time you play him. And that would be tough to see Devers launching balls here at Fenway, coming back in an Orioles uniform as well. I would not do that. I would not trade Devers for Machado. 617-779-7937. Let me know what you think. A little trade deadline talk tonight after a tough night for the Sox. They drop at 7-2. With you until midnight. I'm Ken Laird here at Fenway Park on Sports Radio WEEI. Ah, yeah. Well, smooth jam bringing you back here on Red Sox Review. I'm Ken Laird with you until midnight tonight. Grinding out the weekend. Loving it, though. Red Sox action for me last night, tonight, and tomorrow I'll be back again with the studio hosting duties. Pre-game at 12:20 across the network. Last night was pretty fun. Bizarre game. 14-10, double comeback game. We had all the Hanley Ramirez rumors flying. Tonight was just one of those nights where it was a three-hour grind for I think everybody here at Fenway Park watching. Three hits for the Red Sox through eight. They finally got a couple of runs with Martinez and Moreland, but the lineup severely lacking in punch without Mookie and Xander. Mookie Betts sick tonight. He'll be back in the lineup tomorrow per Alex Cora. Xander Bogaerts, they rested with the finger issue. He jammed it sliding on a steal in the sixth on Friday night. He should be back tomorrow in their place. Today in the lineup, Zhu Weilin called up, and they put him at the top of the order. He did reach on an error, but that was it. He's now 0 for his last 25 in the majors, so your top of the order was a big hole. 6 through 9 in the order was obviously a major problem. Devers 0 for 3 before he got hurt tonight. Not serious, but he left the game. Swihart 0 for 1 when he came in. Nunez did get an RBI hit, but was a couple of flyouts when this game was in question, and Jackie Bradley Jr. 0 for 3 on the night as well. On top of that, I don't think this is a major cause for concern. One thing, you know, we were talking about the trade deadline and what you would do as a Sox fan, and we got a couple minutes to take your calls on that at 617-779-7937. Do you want or expect the Red Sox to be a player for Machado or Adrian Beltre, who the reports are now the Texas Rangers have put up on the market, a big-name right-handed bat? The Sox apparently inquired about the A's Mark Canna, who's a right-handed outfielder slash first baseman. Not as big of a name, but he is under team control for a lot more years, so actually he might be a fairly big asking price, but, you know, probably would be a rotational piece, not somebody who you would would be a everyday starter for you that would put Jackie Bradley on the bench. That's, you know, one of the first concrete reports, though, we've had out there, Mark Canna. So that's more of what the Red Sox seem to be looking at right now. Even John Heyman, who put out breaking down the Manny Machado sweepstakes, he has the Red Sox's, like, ninth on it. He thinks that Machado will end up in Philly or St. Louis or Arizona, somewhere in the National League, first and foremost. And if he goes to an American League team, he thinks the Indians have the top choice to land him. And that would be a pretty powerful Cleveland Indians squad to go with Francisco Lindor and Jose Ramirez. They would move Ramirez to second base and put Kipnis on the bench, and they would put Machado on the left side of the infield. So you think about that, too. Manny Machado may not come to Boston, but wherever he goes, he will be a big swing piece in terms of making somebody's lineup legit and catching them up with the Red Sox. And the Red Sox, you know, Dave Dombrowski could sit up and laugh at all this because they've got the most runs in baseball, best run differential. Maybe they don't need a big thumper, but nights like tonight, really, obviously without Betts and Bogaerts, you start to think, man, they're an injury away from really getting exited early again in the postseason. And back to the initial point, the Yankees are going to go get a starting pitcher. They lost Jordan Montgomery, Tanaka with some issues, and they'll probably get Cole Hamels. They have an obvious need. Whoever they go out and get, they're going to get somebody to come into the rotation that's a major player for them. For the Red Sox, it's not as clear, and you think their rotation's pretty good. Chris Sale tomorrow, he's not been getting great run support, but you know, up until this weekend, Steven Wright and Erod had solidified things. And the last two nights, those guys have not been themselves. Not at all. Steven Wright was just dreadful Friday. They got away with, I mean, he gave up 10 runs, and they still ended up winning the ball game, which is incredible. Cora left him in, I thought, way too long. And for him to face Nelson Cruz again was, it seems ludicrous. Cora was spinning it pregame as, like, and I can't say I can evaluate a knuckleball. He said basically they felt that Steven Wright's knuckleball, he had made some adjustments and he was coming around again. So they didn't make the change, but it didn't look like it to me. I mean, and on they are just so fortunate to come out from that and come back and win the game 14-10. But anyway, you know, Erod tonight was not himself. He didn't get a single swing and a miss with his changeup tonight. Chris Mason pointing out that's been a bread and butter pitch for him, and he was charting the changeups and. It is a little concerning. The fastball velocity was down a little bit. Erod talked after the game. It may just be as simple as, you know, they faced this Mariners team a week ago and they made some adjustments on him. Here's a little bit of Erod's post-game chat with the media tonight. He tells you what went wrong for him this evening.
Erod, this year's been a positive for you in a lot of ways, but what is it going to take to reach that next step of being able to last a little bit later in games?
I mean, I will say today just was the command of the pitches, you know what I mean? I missed like a lot of cutters and changes on the play, and this is the belief. If you miss, that's what's going to happen. I mean,
Alex was saying that
he was particularly a little worried about the first inning because of, you know, them losing the lead last night and maybe coming out being energized and motivated. Did you see the first inning as a little more of a challenge tonight than it usually is, that it was important to kind of shut them down early and you weren't able to do that?
I mean, that's my judgment. I mean, shut them down the quickest I can and everything, and they score one run, and I try to just keep the game in position to win the game, and then just give it 5 runs. So something that he's got to turn the page and get ready for the next game.
What do you think was different with this outing versus last Sunday?
Like I say, the command with the pitches, you know what I mean? Like I say, the changes was working that great, and the cutter was missing, like, on the plate. So that's what I think was the difference today.
Haniger was a guy who hadn't had a lot of success against you coming in. The two cutters that he hit the two doubles on, were those just two pitches that you were trying to bury in off the plate and you just didn't get there?
Yeah, I was trying to go in, you know what I mean? Like, try to go really inside because, you know, we play a bandwidth, so if you want to throw the pitch, you got to be really in. And I missed it, like, I would say, like, on the play, and he made a pretty good swing, and just hit those two doubles. So that's what I'm saying. The pitch doesn't was like working that great today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So Erod, steady Eddie there, and certainly you're gonna say, hey, he's earned a rocky start. He gave up 5 runs, 4 of them earned. Zue Lin had one go under his glove tonight. But Erod had he'd won his last 6. He was 6-0 with a 2.29 ERA coming in. So not going to overreact to Erod or even Stephen Wright. He had 3 pretty good starts before he had a clunker. But it's just, that's a minor eyebrow raise, I would say, heading into what's going to be a big week here with the Angels coming in. They're a desperate team trying to keep pace in the wild card hunt. And then, of course, the Yankees next week. We'll see how the rotation kind of fans out. But, you know, depending how they shift things, they have the off day Monday. You know, Sale will pitch tomorrow. He'll miss the Angels series. You would think they would stack him up to pitch probably on that first Friday at Yankee Stadium. Rob Bradford reported yesterday they're not going to change David Price. He's going to be in there, and he's going to pitch against the Yankees. So we'll see, you know, maybe Erod will make that Sunday start in New York, where he's been pretty good over his career against the Yankees. That's going to be something next week. Final thoughts of Red Sox Review. We'll do that next. I'm Ken Laird. 7-2, the Mariners win it tonight here at Fenway Park, and we continue on Sports Radio WEI. All right, Red Sox Review winding to its thrilling conclusion here. I'm at Fenway Park. Nobody's left. Sprinklers are on. What makes me happy, though, when I come to Fenway, though, Mutt's Locker has just turned into a storage facility for Drake's cakes and water bottles. So he's never here anymore. Doug Lane takes care of all the lockers here. They have personalized locker. Mutt says Mike for some reason, not Mutt. But he's always on with us in the morning show, so he's never on Red Sox games on a regular basis anymore. So the locker goes, but it's just full of Drake's cakes. I like that, and I've had a couple tonight. But that's one thing that I like. Last night, I liked the drama of the Hanley Ramirez reports coming out from Michelle McPhee, ABC News investigative reporter. We had her on last night. She's obviously done some terrific digging on this to even get the ball rolling on possible ties of Hanley to this drug ring in Lawrence and up into New Hampshire. And she was on again with Trenny and Mark James this afternoon. I wouldn't say that the story has taken off, but it's still interesting. You know, like last night we started talking about it. We did most of the Red Sox Review about it. And I think one of the callers said, why are we talking about this? It was a 14-10 game. It was very exciting. But I don't think you understand. Some people, if this thing, if there's more to it, and Hanley Ramirez was tied to a fentanyl drug ring that saw, you know, had federal investigators arrest 40 people for trafficking 45 people back on April 25th. I mean, that is a major story. And if even further, he's like the head of the ring or something bizarre, you know, where there's ties to the Dominican and he's running. Who knows how bizarre the story could be? I'm not sure it could top Aaron Hernandez and the Patriots as far as, you know, scandals or just sizzling behind-the-scenes drama going on with an organization. But it might be close. It appears the timeline, as Michelle has laid it out, like the Red Sox are off the hook, as we just kind of sum it up, because it sounds like he knew this guy that got arrested who blamed him on owning a box that later was found to contain fentanyl. Hanley denies it, though. The Red Sox had already DFA'd him before the stop, 5 days before. So it's not like it does not appear like they were trying to hide something based off this incident. However, you know, let's say he knows this guy, and obviously the guy had his phone number for a reason. You never know. A month before, maybe word got into the Red Sox organization that, hey, Hanley's got some sketchy friends, and maybe that was just more the straw that broke the camel's back. They may not have had any concrete evidence, but just that, hey, maybe they were thinking about releasing him. He's struggling, big contract, and oh, by the way, he might have some, there's some stuff going on here. That maybe that was enough for the Red Sox to say, you know what, it's time to move on. It doesn't appear, though, like there's a smoking gun or this thing solidified enough yet that we know for sure that Hanley's going to be arrested or arraigned or anything like that. But it's a stay tuned. It's a to be continued. And that's kind of cooled off today, but I think we're going to be talking a lot more about it. Kirk and Callahan Monday morning at 6 a.m. And Kirk and Jerry have done their share of digging on this as well. So can't wait to hear what those guys have to say. But I'll be back tomorrow. Bradford is on tomorrow morning with Steve Buckley. Don't miss them, 9 a.m. sharp. And then I'll be taking over for the pregame 12:20 tomorrow as the Sox look to win the series over the Mariners. Talk to you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.